DVD on this Wednesday. No Willie, no Adam today. Jake Lyman in, hanging out with Derek Mason for the next few hours. Excited to be with you. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Should be a fun show today. We'll be checking in with Chase McKay back out at the Golden Hall Luncheon as he catches up with Shea Weber, Pecorine, and David Poyle. So we'll be heading back out there throughout the show. But Derek, excited to be with you. Should be a fun show today.
Hey, absolutely. It's always good to have you fill in, Jake. You always do a wonderful job, man, at being a point guard. And when you need to score, you score.
I'm always ready to sub exactly. In whenever Adam and Willie need a breather. I'll come out. I'll throw off the warm-up sweats, and we'll be ready to go. Will be a fun show today. Coming up at noon, Jonathan Hutton will join us for two segments. We'll talk about the Titans more later on in the show as well. Going to ask the question, what is your ideal scenario for the Titans offseason? This is an important offseason for the Titans. Anytime you get the number one overall pick, it really has to send your franchise in the right direction. So we're going to ask you that question coming up later on in the show. But let's start with the Preds here, as we, again, will be heading back out to the Golden Hall Luncheon and Induction with Chase McCabe as he chats with some of the honorees throughout the late morning into the afternoon. But the Preds get a win last night, D-Mace. The 1,000th win in franchise history with a 5-3 victory over Vegas. Felt like that was a big one for the Preds here. Coming back home, and you get a big win over a team that's expected to compete for a Stanley Cup, and it was your stars who stepped up and made it happen, Steven Stamkos, Philip Forsberg, and Jonathan Marchessault.
Absolutely. You had a Vegas team who many consider as one of the top teams in National Hockey League. They've won four out of their last seven games, and you had them in your place, and you did what was necessary. One of the hottest teams in NHL. You came in and you dominated, really, for two periods. Now, that third period got a little sketchy there, but you really dominated for two periods. There was the energy there. I mean, we saw Stamkos have two goals, Forsberg. How do you pronounce the goalie? Ananen.
I believe. Yeah, I believe that's right. Eustace Ananen.
Ananen, yes. He did a wonderful job. I think he at one point it was, 19 saves that he had? And I think he ended up the game with that. But he played a fantastic game, for the whole game, but for more importantly, the first two periods where, he held strong and the Preds did what they needed to do in those two periods. High energy, guys were getting to the net, guys were aggressive, and that's what you want to see. And this is what we sort of envisioned from the Predators when they went and got Marchessault, when they went and got Stamkos, those guys. We envisioned outputs like this. This is what we were looking for. So it was good for them. I think it was good to see a game like that where all of those guys sort of contributed in a victory.
Right. And although the playoffs are likely out of the conversation, I think I heard Jared say 2% when he was talking with Barry Trotz.
Which means they still got a chance.
You're telling me there's a chance. Even though more than likely, barring another 19-game point streak or something like that where you just go on an absolute tear, you're likely not going to get back into the playoff picture. But it is important to build up the winning culture because a lot of the key pieces that you have right now are going to be the key pieces next year. You're not changing a lot about the core of this team. Obviously, Yossi and Forsberg are going to be back. Stamkos, Marchessault, Shea. Your big pieces that you have are still going to be the big pieces next year. So finding a way for them to continue to build that chemistry and build a winning culture and maybe get back to the Predators' way, like Barry Trotz said yesterday, that's going to be important down the stretch. Although you also have to balance with wanting to have a high draft pick. It's the same thing we were talking about with the Titans 2 months ago of, you don't want to find yourself in the mucky middle of the draft order, but also you've got to be able to build a winning culture and you don't want to just tank the rest of the season and not be able to build for next year.
Yeah, I don't think Barry is in the business of doing that. I think they've accumulated enough picks where if they need to navigate within the draft, they can. Because they have the picks and because they have young talent, in Milwaukee. So they can sort of navigate their way through that. I think what's important for them now as they enter into this closer to the second half of the season than not, is to, like you said, because these are the guys you're going into next season with, regardless. I would say at least 75% of these guys,
right,
are the guys that are going to be on this team next year. You know, especially at the beginning of the season, and it may be more than that. So you always want to set a tone, set that foundation, get back to playing the Nashville Predator way. You want to do that regardless of if you make a playoff run or not. You still want to establish some type of consistency. This is what the fans were looking for, because you know heading into the next season, that's going to be critical. You started off slow. This season, I think everybody was still trying to figure things out. You need to finish fast so next year this will not be a problem.
Right, and you mentioned
And I hate to jump to next year.
And it is the worst, because yeah, you don't want to be talking about next year on January 15th.
Absolutely.
But because of the slow start and where the hole that they dug themselves into, that's probably the next time this team is going to be competitive, trying to work towards, obviously, the eventual goal of a Stanley Cup. I think that this roster, as it's constructed, mm-hmm, you have the bones of a Stanley Cup contender. But like you said, there's about 25% of the roster that you can probably churn, mm-hmm, and you have to find the right combination of the reserve guys and role players who can fit in with the stars that you already have on your roster.
Yeah, you got to be able to, and I think that's what hurt them early on, not being able to establish a line. Other than the first line, they were tinkering, it seemed like, every other game, every other week or every week, they were tinkering with the lines, not the first one. I think what, as you said, going into next season, this season, the end of the season is critical, because now we get to establish our lines. Everyone understands what their role is within their line, the line that they're on. If you can get good play moving forward, now you can take that into the offseason. Now you may say, you know what, I don't need that position, or I don't need that guy because these guys shown enough. Or I can bring some of those guys from Milwaukee. I can bring them up now. You know, so it's critical on how they finish. It may end up, because you still got 2%, it may end up as a, you know, wild card berth, more than likely not, but it may end up as a wild card berth, but it's all about how you finish, because that carries over, I think, into the offseason with the optimism, and then into the season next year.
Right, and Barry Trotz, he's got a full cupboard of resources, mm-hmm, to use to get this team back to where it needs to be. You have your established players. You've also got a lot of young talent that's coming up. We've seen a few of them. Fedor Svechkov has come up, Zachary LaRue, et cetera, all these young players coming up from Milwaukee. And you've already loaded up with picks. Mm-hmm. You were talking about how many picks the Preds have to navigate through the draft. So they've got the resources to get this roster back to where it needs to be. And again, we saw last night that the guys that you were hoping could step up and take this team to the next level, they still do have it. You just need it on more of a consistent basis from Stamkos and Marchessault and those guys. I did mention it was the 1,000th win in franchise history. I saw from, I believe, Brooks Bratton tweeted this out, the Predators are the second fastest franchise in NHL history to reach 1,000 wins. That's pretty impressive. Over a 25-year span, the Preds have been the second, I guess, quickest team to establish themselves as a contender in the NHL, only behind the Flyers, who were the only other team that was faster to 1,000 wins than that.
Yeah, that has to mean a lot, especially to the guys that have been here for the bulk of it, or at least majority of it. Forsberg, those guys that have went through the runs, of what was it, 2017 with them. In that period where they were a dominant team. Forsberg, those guys were a part of it. So it's good for them. And then obviously Poile going into the Hall, you get the 1,000th win. Poile, Pekka, and those guys are going into what are they calling it?
The Golden Hall.
The Golden Hall, yes. Yep. So it's just fitting that you win your 1,000th game and then they go into the Golden Hall
the very next day.
So I'm sure it's a huge accomplishment. It's just an attestment to how this franchise under David Poyle and now Barry Trotz, how they've been, you know, striving for excellence each and every season, where they tried to build this type of organization or this franchise as a winning franchise. And they got to a point, they've gotten there. Now they've taken a step back, we understand that, but all that they've done up until this point has put Nashville on the map as far as a hockey town.
Right, and although the Predators maybe haven't been consistent Stanley Cup contenders mm-hmm. since they started as a franchise, you can't really think of the last time the Predators were among the worst in the NHL. Yeah. No matter what, this team has put themselves in a competitive position, and that's how you get to 1,000 wins in just over 25 years. I saw another note on Twitter yesterday, Andrew Brunette scoring the game-winning yes. goal in Game 1 with the Predators, and then he's the head coach in Game 1,000. Pretty cool tie there for the head coach of the Predators. How does 1,000 wins sound to you as a football player? I mean, 1,000 wins, you'd have to go undefeated for 50-plus years in the NFL to get to that. I mean,
you may never reach
that's
it.
That's a lot of wins.
You may never see it. That is a bunch of wins. I mean, but just as a – because I, you know, being a part of a new-ish franchise, obviously the Houston Oilers became the Tennessee Titans. So, yes, the name – and the location was new, but the history of the Houston Oilers is still there.
Yeah.
But to be a part of a newish NFL team in a new city, and all that we were able to accomplish, that meant a lot, and I'm sure it still means a lot to the guys that had to go that went through that from 1997 to 2004, and I'm just counting my last year.
Yeah,
2004. So any sort of milestone we hit, it meant a little bit more because we started it.
Like right.
We started the milestone. You know, we started it, and we were able to build on it to it becoming such a milestone. And that's how they got to feel, the Predator players, that we, you know, especially Poyle, that we started this.
Yeah.
And now, 2025, we get our thousandth win of the franchise's very short existence. You know, so that has to mean a lot, not just to Poyle, but everybody in that building.
Yeah, and it's cool to see, because it is a big number. 1,000 mm-hmm. wins is a lot. I just looked up the NFL all-time wins list. Mm-hmm. The most wins in NFL history, the Green Bay Packers with 800. So there is still not an NFL team.
Exactly. Which, now, again, granted, they play more games.
They play less than
hockey,
a quarter
yes.
of the games, I understand. But it that just shows you how, I mean, NHL, maybe not quite as physical as the NFL, mm-hmm. but it's close.
Like, oh, it's close. I would say at times it is a little bit more physical, you know?
You're doing it with knives on your feet, too.
Exactly. Like,
I mean, it's out of the four major sports, mm-hmm. there are obviously two that are more physical than the other two. Mm-hmm. The NBA is more physical than baseball, yeah. for sure. But the NFL and the NHL, there's a reason that you have to wear pads in those yeah. sports.
I would tend to say I may piss some people off, but I would say the NHL is more physical than the NFL from this standpoint, because they got to play both ends of the ice.
That is a good point.
You know, and they're going – and I know they switch shifts a lot, but going from one side to the other and hitting somebody and getting hit and all this other stuff, I don't have to go through – I didn't have to go through that as a wide receiver.
Right.
I barely got hit, so – and I wasn't hitting nobody. So I would tend to say from minute to minute, second to second, the NHL is a more violent physical sport. Not to say that the guys are more – I just think the sports as a whole is a little bit more physical than football, because they play both ends of the ice.
Right. In the NFL, it probably depends on what position
exactly,
you play.
Yeah.
The defensive and offensive linemen, that's more physical.
Yes.
Because you're hitting somebody on every single snap. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, on the outsides, you're probably not hitting as much as you would in a hockey game, which is what makes it so impressive that they play 82 games in a season, and they're playing these games on back-to-back nights. So 1,000 wins for the Predators, just the context there. I mean, the Packers, 800 wins. So the first NFL team will probably reach 1,000 wins in If I can do some quick math, probably 15, 20 years from now. So we've got a while. But
just think about, like, the Bears have been around for, like, 100 years.
Yeah.
And they haven't hit 1,000.
Like, right.
The Bears could win 10 games.
The Bears have won. They're right there. They have won 793. So they are right behind the Packers. The Titans all time. What, have won
300 wins,
476 wins. So, in the next, you would hope in the 20, next 3 or 4 years, you'll get to 500.
Oh yeah, just 500. Yes,
but you know that all depends on how this offseason goes and what they can do with the quarterback position. But really cool moment for the Predators to reach 1,000 wins, and again, like you mentioned, the day before the Golden Hall induction, where maybe the three most important people to the success of the Predators franchise are being enshrined. And again, we're going to be checking in with Chase McCabe back out there at the Renaissance Hotel as he talks with those three legends of the Predators organization.
Shea Weber, Pekka, and Poile?
Yes.
Okay.
And I believe only two of them were inducted into the Hall of Fame this year, right? Shea and Poile were inducted into the Hall of Fame back in November, the Hockey Hall of Fame. So really cool stuff, and obviously a very important week for this Predators team, and they're back in action tomorrow night taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are going to We're going to take a break here. Then we're going to send it back to Chase. Chase is going to have some guests out there at the Golden Hall lunch, and we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll send it out to him. Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan today. Derek Mason here on DVD 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We're back here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe filling in on DVD as we're at the Renaissance Hotel, the Predators Golden Hall luncheon that is going to be honoring David Poile, Pekka Rinne, and Shea Weber. And a lot of Preds alumni are here, including Cliff Ronning, the Rat, who is with us now. And Cliff, you obviously know David Poile quite well, coming in here as in the early days of the Nashville Predators, now a Hall of Famer, Hockey Hall of Famer. I know it's going to be cool for you to see him get all the accolades that he's gotten since his retirement.
Absolutely. One thing about David Poile, you know, there's a lot of people I've met in my life, Mr. Pat Quinn, the late Pat Quinn, and David Poile. They're very similar. David Poile is very honest. You know, I end up getting traded, but I still love the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the type of personality he is. He's just an honest, good person and deserves everything he's getting. And I'm very proud of him, and that's probably the biggest reason I'm here, is because I want to support that.
What was it like for you? You know, back then, it's a new market. They love the term the non-traditional market, expansion team. You guys are kind of figuring out as you go. Obviously, you're a veteran. You had a lot of veteran guys that come together. And now you look at it some 25, 26 years later, that this is a team that's, you know, contended for Stanley Cups and championships. Did you think back then of, hey, it's going to become this, like it's going to build into what it's become in a huge fan base?
I always felt that. I thought, you know, I played on many teams, and the fans here are so supportive. And, you know, patience is also something that's important, and they do have that. Around the league, there's a lot of teams that seem to fall apart because the fan base is just completely negative. And I see a lot of good positive things happening here. I know it's not the best year they've had so far, but it takes time to build it back to like the time that Weber and Pekka Rinne went to the finals and stuff like that. So, but the biggest thing is that the fans are still amazingly supportive. It's an exciting place to go to a game.
Yeah.
I went there with my daughter, who's going to Belmont, and it was her first game, and she loved it. And the atmosphere in that rink is definitely worth going to, bringing your kids and enjoying a game there.
You played with Andrew Brunette, the Predators coach. Obviously, you played for Barry Trotz, who's now the general manager. When you watch this team, do you see some of that Bruno personality come out with this team and obviously see what he did as a player as he's trying to do now as a coach?
Absolutely. I mean, he was a student of the game when he played. He always was thinking different tactics and how you can break down the other team, and he was always excellent at that. And you know, Bruno always said, like, he wasn't the best skater, but he definitely had the hockey mind. He understood. Yeah. He understood it's very important. Chemistry is important. Players all pulling the chain in the right direction, and he's very aware of what's going on. And, you know, that was my first game this year to see, and I thought the team played well, and I think there was a moment there that it could have went the other way, but this time they learned the you know, to keep the simple plays, and they found a way to win, and that's they're going to have to gut it out the rest of the year playing that style.
As you look at this team, that they now have kind of a mix of veterans and as you know, Bruno and Trotsky like to say, serial winners, guys that have won Stanley Cups and competed for championships, and then there's a bunch of young guys that are making their debut or haven't been playing very long. You know, when you were playing and kind of on a team like that, what was kind of the role of the veteran when it came to working with the younger players?
Well, I think the biggest thing when you're an older player is in practice, you be the hardest worker.
Yeah.
And you teach them the work ethic. And you're not the first guy off the ice after practice. You're staying out, working on the little things make a big difference at the NHL level. Getting the puck outside the blue line, tipping the puck. There's a lot of little tiny things you can work on in your game. And, you know, the hard part about, I guess, the NHL, it's a very busy schedule. So it's also making sure the body's healing and feeling good. But spending extra time on the ice as an older player is showing them what it's going to take to get to that next level. You know, a quick story. When I was in St. Louis as a 19-year-old, a guy named Pat Hickey, we're talking,
yeah.
He was, I think he was almost 40 at the time when he was playing when I was 19, but he would call me out, hey, let's work on this. I think you need to do a little bit better tipping in front of the net or getting a pass from behind the net. So I think that role model is important for the older guys to really work with the younger guys to do a little extra after practice or work on the stuff. If you're a face-off guy, work on your face-offs. I think those are the little details that could help.
Cliff, I know this is going to be a fun day for sure. It's good to see you. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yes, thank you.
Guys, we'll throw it back to you in the studio. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chase. Chase McCabe out there at the Golden Hall luncheon with Cliff Ronning. And again, we'll be sending it back to him with multiple guests throughout the show today. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason in today on DVD. Preds got the win last night, their 1,000th of their franchise's history, and honoring three of the legends who made it happen today over at the Renaissance Hotel. D-Mace, let's get into the Titans a little bit here, actually. And we'll be sending it back out to Chase throughout the day. But we were just talking during the break there. We just saw a podcast clip, and I might send this to David during the next break and see if we can play it. But I'll try and explain it the best I can. It's from a Barstool podcast. Deion Sanders was on 2 days ago, and he was asked about Tennessee having the first overall pick and basically said that he loves it. He said Titans are building a new stadium. It's a beautiful city. And he said that, you know, if he's trying to control where Shadur goes, he's also close with Cam Ward. Apparently they train together. So, you know, if you're sending Shadur somewhere else, Cam Ward might be going to Tennessee. So it seems like the Deion of it all doesn't seem like he's going to Archie Manning it and make sure that Shadur goes somewhere else if the Titans indeed decide that that's the direction that they want to go.
No, not based upon those, not based upon that podcast and what he said during the podcast about just the city in general. And then he spoke of there will be a lot of jockeying from, you know, the moment the college season ends to the draft in, what is it, May? The draft in May. So there will be a lot of jockeying, trying to move around. There may be some trades and stuff like that. And that's what Deion, Coach Prime, was saying, is that, yeah, you know, I like Tennessee and I like the city, but, you know, in a sense, he may not go there because another team may move around in the draft and they may end up number one. Or somebody may choose to draft Cam Ward first, you know, or whatnot. So either way, in his mind, I think his thinking is, I'm in a win-win situation. Like, my people are in a win-win situation. Shador, whether he get drafted the first quarterback or the second quarterback, the person that he trains with
is going to be in front of him. Yeah.
Is a good friend of his, is going to be drafted. And then he's going to be drafted. So either way, we're in a win-win. And then Travis Hunter, obviously, he may go number one no matter what.
Yep.
So you have three individuals with close ties to Coach Sanders that have the potential of going 1, 2, 3.
And now the wrench being thrown into it all is if Deion Sanders takes the Cowboys job. If that ends up happening, I would say it's unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys talked about this a lot yesterday, but Deion Sanders' main advantage in college is his ability to recruit.
Mm-hmm.
People want to go play for Coach Prime. You can't really recruit in the NFL.
No, you can't. It's not. It's nothing. And I'm sure Coach Prime understands that you know, recruiting in college looks nothing like free agency in the NFL.
Right.
Even though, listen, they're both in essentially, because with the portal, they're both essentially free agents. Oh,
yes,
it's a form of free agency.
With NIL, money is a factor. But it's very different in which the NFL money is – and you would know more about this, but money is the main factor in the NFL, in which case you're not getting – like Carson Beck just got the biggest contract ever for an NIL – in the NIL era, it was like $3.6 million, which a lot of money, no doubt about it. But in the NFL, that's like a fourth-string wide receiver is signing for 1 year and $3.5 million or something like that. In the NFL, if T. Higgins – loves Coach Prime, wants to play for him, but the Cowboys are only offering 4 years, $100 million, and the Saints are offering 5 years, $125 million, he's probably going to the Saints.
Yeah, it depends on how much money you know either team is guaranteeing, and that leads to what you're saying. It's how much guarantee money are you going to give me?
Right.
That will have a big part of where I choose to go. Not necessarily, okay, you know, 8 years, 100, 200 million.
Yeah.
It's okay, 8 years out of that 200 million, how much of it is guaranteed? Now, if you're guaranteeing it, you know, 80% of all of it, and another team's guaranteeing 60%, then I'm going with you.
Right. And,
you know,
it doesn't matter who's the head coach.
Exactly.
You may like Deion Sanders, but Deion Sanders isn't going to be able to use his influence to build his roster.
Exactly. Unless whoever, and it seems like at this point, Coach Prime, the only sort of way in the NFL, and I'm not saying he's looking for a way in the NFL, but right now as the vacancies sit, it seems like Dallas seems to be the team that could be pushing hard for Deion Sanders to be their head coach. So, I mean – listen, whatever he chooses to do, I think, you know, what the Titans do should be separate of, you know, what Deion or Dallas does, because Titans are sitting in a place, and we talked about this yesterday, Titans are sitting in a place of strength. And you want to make sure that everybody understands you sit in a place of strength. So it's like, okay, if you want my number one pick, if you want an opportunity to pick between the top three guys or the top four guys with Abdul being in there, and some people even consider him the best player in the draft, if you want the options, then you're going to have to present to me a proposal that is serious, you know? And it's going to start with first-round picks. I mean, multiple first-round picks. So that, to me, is you know, if indeed they move off the number one pick, that's in, for me, you know, regardless of who they draft, Shador, Hunter, or Ward, you want a king's ransom if you're going to give that up.
Right. And I think Deion taking the Cowboys job would, it would help the Titans in terms of leverage, because not only can you gouge a little bit more from the Cowboys because they would really want to come up for Shador or Hunter, whoever Coach Prime wants, you can also use that as leverage with other teams. It's like, hey, Raiders, the Cowboys really want to come up for Shador. If you want to come up, you're going to have to offer us an extra second on top of the three firsts you're giving us, or whatever it ends up being. Like, you can get yourself a little bit more if Deion did take that job. I just find it very unlikely that that's going to happen. I think the reason Deion probably came out and made his statement that Jerry Jones talked to him is he wants Colorado to give him some more resources, facilities, maybe a contract extension, more NIL money. That's usually what it is. It's, oh, wow, I really love Colorado. You know, I'm flattered by the interest from the Cowboys, but I'd like to stay here. But he's staying here mostly because he's probably going to get some incentives to stay in Boulder moving forward. Let's send it back out to the Renaissance Hotel. Chase McCabe is now joined by Pecorine over at the Golden Hall Luncheon.
I am. Pecorine joins us now as the Golden Hall Luncheon is going to happen here in just a little bit. Pekka, it's good to see you. How are you?
Thank you. It's good to see you, too. I've been great.
I know... You know, a few years after your playing career ended, there's been a lot of accolades, and we'll just add this one to the list. But it's got to be extra special to go in with Shea and then David Poile.
Exactly. I think this is different. I get to share this with two men who's had a huge impact on my career, and obviously David being my GM throughout my career and giving me the opportunity and chance and truly changed my life. And obviously Shea, you know, We came to the league together and started our pro careers together, and first in Milwaukee and then in Nashville. And you know, he was our captain and a dear friend to me, and you know, obviously first like a real in my opinion like a superstar player that I played with. So both of them I think they've had a huge impact on me.
And two Hall of Famers now in the Hockey Hall of Fame,
right,
which is pretty cool.
I know.
And we know Shea loves to talk about himself, so but he deserves it for sure.
Oh, 100%. It's I had an honor to be there. I was witnessing that in this year in Toronto, and it was a great event, and you know, just so cool to see those guys get recognized like that. Well deserved. And like David, 40 years in the league and plus 3,000 games, and it's unbelievable. So it's really cool.
I was at the game last night, and you know, the Predators get the win over Vegas. But looking in net and seeing, I guess, are we referring to him as Big Juice? Eustace getting the start. A couple of Finnish goalies now with the Predators once again, and I know you kind of had a big part in him coming here. What have you liked that you've seen from him so far?
Well,
He's a big guy. He's kind of like you. He's tall.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's very technical for a big guy and moves well. He's very athletic, and but he plays a very calm game and a quiet game, if you will. But yeah, it's funny. He's actually from my hometown.
Yeah,
like a really really small town that we grew up. I didn't really know him beforehand too well. Over the summers, when I was still playing, I skated with him a few times and got to know him a little bit, and I saw him right away. I'm like, this guy has a lot of talent, a lot of potential, and you know, he's only 24 years old, and I think he has still a lot of room to grow and a lot of potential left.
You're obviously in a different role now. You've always kind of been a mentor to UC. How has that kind of evolved since you're no longer playing, but now you're coaching, you're you know, helping out in the organization? What has your relationship kind of become at this point?
I think with Juice, it's mostly friendship. I mean, we are just good friends, and of course we talk about the game, but I think it's more mental than anything. I try to be there for him if he wants to talk about something. I'm there for there for him. I'm not gonna be coaching him too much. I leave that for Benny, and I like that role better. You know, it's tough when you're friends and you know you play together. I feel like it's tough for me to coach him, and you know, to me he's a unique goalie that he's able to play. You know, he's a smaller guy, but his qualities are elite, and it's just he's a goalie that I really. To this day, I love to watch.
How about having Mitch Korn back in the organization? I know you love that.
Oh, it's great. He's a legend. I mean, he hasn't changed a bit. It's it's unbelievable. He's funny. He's a great coach. His knowledge about the game is second to none. It's unbelievable. He just has so much history in the game.
Well, Pekka, it's certainly great to see you. Congratulations on this because you deserve it. And, we look forward to catching up soon.
Thank you very much. Awesome. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Pekka Rinne, and we will shift over. I will turn to the other side as he gets the headset put on. Longtime Predators captain and Hockey Hall of Famer Shea Weber has joined us now here on the program. Shea, congratulations on the Hall of Fame and all the accolades that you're getting.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a busy winter, but it's a true honor, and yeah, it's an honor to be here in Nashville again.
Are you, you know, I can remember, you know, covering you here, you know, you always made it about the team. It was never about you. Now that you're getting some of these personal accolades, I mean, is it difficult for you to enjoy it, or are you trying to take it all in?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's one of those, like you said, I've always been team first guy, so it's hard to accept these accolades, as you call them. But I mean, when I sit back and I get home, it's special, something that I never thought would have ever been a part of my career. You know, my goal as a kid was to make it to the NHL, and that in itself is a dream come true. And then to have these things come along, it's like I said, I'm in shock. It's sunk in now, but as it's been happening, it's all kind of been a shock and a weird thing for me to handle on that aspect.
How special is it to get to do some of these things in Nashville where you spent so much of your career?
Yeah, it's emotional. There's a lot of emotions. Like I said, I spent 11 years here. I was a kid. I kind of grew up here. It became a second home for me. And every time I come back, every time I hear that they need me to come back or want me to come back to Nashville, I'm always about it. And I get emotional. I get emotional when I go into Bridgestone Arena and all the memories I had there and the reaction that the fans give me is amazing. And there's a lot of things that run through my mind when I come back here.
You know, it's funny. I was kind of thinking back on some big moments, and the one that popped in my mind first wasn't even on the ice. It was you and Dirk Smitley doing the trick shot from the top of the rink.
Yeah,
no, I mean, that was pretty crazy.
That was awesome. I mean, even when we set up to do that, I was like, there's no way we're going to not hit the Jumbotron and score one on the other end of the ice. And I'd never seen Dirk's play, so I didn't know if he could shoot a puck or not. And obviously it wasn't the greatest, but he was a great guy. It was a great day. And that's a funny memory. And it was a lot of fun to do that with him.
As the Predators, Shea Weber is with us, put this Golden Hall together. You know, obviously David Poile, the architect of this whole thing. But for you to go in with Pekka, you guys had and I asked him this too, you had a relationship off the ice, a friendship, you did the 365 Pediatric Fund together. That has to be extra special that you two can share this moment together.
Absolutely. I mean, Pex and I came to Milwaukee at the same time. He came from Europe. I came from junior, and, you know, we've known each other for forever. And like you said, not only the hockey, the friendship, but you know, 365 Foundation, everything we've done together. And Pex is salt of the earth. He's one of the nicest human beings and a great guy and a great friend of mine. And it's a true honor to be going in with him. And I don't think I'd want anyone else.
So what have you been doing in your post-playing career?
A little bit of coaching. That's about it. Yeah, the kids' hockey has got me coaching that and baseball. And I mean, that's kind of it as of now, but I shouldn't say that's it. It's pretty busy.
Yeah. How old are your kids now?
10, 9, and 6.
Wow. That's that's awesome.
Yeah.
Shea, it's great to see you. I know this is going to be a special couple days. And, you know, it's fitting tomorrow night it's against the Blackhawks because of so much history there. But enjoy this, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Guys, I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Chase. Great stuff with Predators legends Pekka Rinne and Shea Weber. Plenty more to come from the Preds' Golden Hall luncheon as they induct three of the main pillars of the Predators franchise over the last 25 years into the Golden Hall. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more with Chase McCabe, and we'll also get back into Titans talk as we sort out what this offseason is going to look like for the two-tone blue. Jake Lyman in for Adam Vingan today. Derek Mason here on DVD 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tennessee has the first pick of the draft.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
I love it. I don't... First of all, no state tax. New stadium going in. Beautiful city. I love it. I really do. I don't know what's going to transpire because right now is positioning time. Mm-hmm. You're going to see article coming out that I don't like Shador. I don't like Travis. I don't like Cam. just so they'll fall right where they want them to fall.
Right.
So it's a lot of positioning going on, a strategic hating going on right now. But what I love is you got all three of those are like my boys. Like they my babies. Like right. Even Cam.
Right. Yeah.
They have the same trainer. Daryl trains both of them. So if you hating on Shador, that means you got to uplift Cam.
Right.
If you hating on Cam, that means you got to uplift Shador, or you got to bring somebody else in the fold, which you know better than that. Right. Mm-hmm. So I love the way all of this is transpiring because it still is going to be one of our kids. Right. And we're going to do the draft in Boulder, Colorado, in the gymnasium with a packed house. In front of all the students. Mm. So when they call their names, it's going to be pandemonium.
We'll be there.
Like never before.
Yes, we'll be there.
Yeah, y'all get all the exclusive anything, we'll anything y'all want.
That was Deion Sanders on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast from Barstool.
Why was Gilly whispering when he asked the question? Like, I'm like, Gilly, why are you whispering,
man?
How do
you feel about that?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
With his raspy voice.
Exactly. I'm like, dude.
Coach Prime saying that right now it is positioning season. And we did see it 2 years ago, and I think it was the Titans who were doing it with C.J. Stroud and the S2 scores. You're trying to find ways to get guys to fall down to where you are. So I'm sure we're going to see that from a lot of teams. If they like Cam Ward, they're going to be putting out information to these insiders that, man, Cam Ward, there's some issues with his decision-making that's making a lot of teams not like him. Teams are trying to get into the best situation to get the player that they want. So we're going to see a lot of that. But Deion Sanders basically, at least publicly, ending the thought that maybe he wouldn't want Shedeur Sanders to come to the Titans, if that is who the Titans end up wanting. And we talked about that earlier, which is good because that's the worst thing that could happen for the Titans is for Deion Sanders to publicly come out and say he's not going to let Shedeur play for the Titans, because then you lose some of the leverage that you have just naturally from having the first overall pick.
Yeah, and I want to wonder, because it was the interview was published or put out, not published, excuse me. The interview was put on the platform, I think, 2 days ago. But when did they actually do the sit down, the podcast with Coach Prime? Was it before Rand Carthon got fired, or after Rand Carthon got fired? Because the tweet that we saw from Deion Sanders when it happened, it was the wow. Like, that was out of nowhere. It was as if he was thinking, okay, this is really before. This is a place I can see my son. Then all of a sudden you fire the GM, and it's like, oh, okay, let me sort of reassess what I think as a father. Because he's right. There are some organizations, and I'm not saying that the Tennessee Titans are one of these organizations, but I will say the Tennessee Titans haven't done a good job at developing quarterbacks. It's fact. We can watch. We can see there hasn't been a quarterback outside of Steve McNair.
Yeah.
They drafted in 1996, I believe, or 95,
sounds
96,
right.
That has gotten to a second contract. Nobody.
Yeah.
Look, these are all facts, people. There is no quarterback that has gotten to a second contract with this team that they drafted.
Yep.
So they haven't shown the consistency to develop a quarterback. So if I'm a Coach Prime, or if I'm a father or an agency, and I have the number one quarterback, I'm thinking hard and long about certain organizations or franchises I want my quarterback to be a part of, because I think there is truth to look at Green Bay. I would love if I had a son, go to Green Bay. I pray that Green Bay drafts you, because it seems like it's going to go right. You may not win a Super Bowl, you may win one.
30 years of franchise quarterback.
Exactly. So that's a place I want you to go. Is there. Now, I don't know if I could say that about every franchise. I could say it a little bit about Indy. But now Indy has hit sort of a drought, since Andrew Luck. But there's only one franchise that I can say, you know what, there's no shadow of a doubt they're going to get
the
quarterback right.
They're going to figure it out.
Exactly. It's Green Bay. So anybody outside of Green Bay, I would be a little leery. But the Titans are in a position where if they draft a quarterback, there has to be this sense of, okay, you're drafting them. Can you develop them?
Yeah.
Because last we checked, the guy that you drafted second round 2 years ago hasn't developed, and he doesn't look like he's going to get a second contract. So now that's, what, four quarterbacks you've drafted
in the top 35.
Since Steve McNair, exactly. Since Steve McNair, that you haven't been able to develop.
Yeah, and outside of, obviously, the rookie year from Vince Young was fantastic. Marcus had one really good year.
Vince didn't get to a second contract? Now, that could have just been because of the whole situation that was going on.
Yeah,
he and the head coach.
External factors
exactly. there. Exactly, but the fact remains. You didn't sign Locker to a second-year deal. You didn't sign Mariota to a second contract. You didn't sign Vince Young to a second contract. You didn't sign. You're not going to sign Will Levis unless something miraculous changes to a second contract. So if I'm a Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, am I looking at the Titans glowingly? Now, here could be the caveat. Because I heard, I was listening to Jared, which I love to listen to as I'm driving home.
Yeah.
He talked about the, you know, potential of Brinker hiring one of his buddies. And one of those buddies could be possibly a Green Bay guy. Well, you know what? I'm okay with that if it comes to the quarterback.
That's true. They have figured out how to pick quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Green Bay is not the worst organization to emulate.
Exactly. As far as quarterbacks.
And you mentioned the Titans haven't gotten a lot right with quarterbacks. The other teams looking for quarterbacks haven't either. Mm-hmm. Cleveland, Las Vegas. I mean, Derek Carr got a second deal, but like Derek Carr got to the playoffs once with them. Mm-hmm. The Jets, the Giants had Eli for so long, but there's not a whole lot of great quarterback developing organizations who are looking for a quarterback this year. So really you're splitting hairs if you're looking at the Titans and the Browns and the Raiders, etc. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. We'd love to hear from you. Going to get to plenty more on the Titans throughout the show. But coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from OutKick is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the rumors with Deion Sanders and much more. Derek Mason, Jake Lyman, today on DVD here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.